So this morning we're going to be continuing a series that we've done called Mission Control. And this is a series that we're focusing on that has to do with the mission God has given to us as people who follow Him and what that looks like in our lives. And we're working through some of the pieces of our own mission statement, but today, particularly, we're talking about what it means to grow in faith, to grow as people who follow Jesus and what that looks like in our lives. So today, to do that, I want to read a couple of stories that come from the Gospel of Luke. So these are stories that Jesus tells. First one is from Luke 13, and the next one is from Luke 17, that illustrates something for us of what it means to grow as followers of Jesus. First, this story that comes from Luke 13. Then he, Jesus, told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Then jumping ahead to Luke 17, where Jesus says this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes into the field, 'Come along now, sit down and eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, then, a consideration of what it means for us to grow in faith. So I picked a couple of students up here, and I put an instrument on them, and they didn't seem to just know how to play that simply by watching the other bandmates play a little bit earlier. Of course, that's ridiculous. You can't just watch someone play an instrument and then automatically know how to step in and do that. So we know that in order to play a musical instrument, it takes more than just seeing it happen. But I wonder then in our walk with God, in our faith, in the thing that we gather around here, if maybe we have thought that same thing about the way that we grow closer to God, the way that our faith grows. Maybe without meaning to, we come into this place and we think, you know what? Simply by being in the same room for an hour each week with other people who follow God somehow helps me follow God better. If I see other people do it, or I'm in the same room with other people who do that, does that make me somehow grow as well? Or is there a little more to it? Is there a little more to what it means for us to grow as people who follow God than simply being in the same room with other people who follow God? There should be something more going on there. Let's look at that today with these stories that we've read. And first, let's maybe analyze what's happening here, all right? Analyze what we mean by growing in faith. Particularly, maybe the question comes, how do I measure that? How do I measure what it looks like when I'm a person who grows in faith? Right? How do I measure that, or how do I not measure that in some other ways? What are some of the things that I look at that make that measurement? When you think about what it means for your faith to grow, what are the things that you think of that maybe help you to measure how those things are and what they look like? We could think about many things for that, right? I could think about times when maybe I feel close to God, right? I've had those times where God seems so close and I feel so close to him, and that's sort of a time when I feel that my faith has grown. Or I could think about times when maybe I've learned something new about God from the Bible that I never knew before, and now my faith has gone a step because I know more about God, or I understand some things about what it means for God to love me in ways that maybe I didn't understand before. Or maybe we think about it as an experience, right? Times when I go to worship, or I've been a part of God's people for things, and just by being a part of that experience that I grow. We think about those kinds of things, right? Things like our heart and our mind and experience. But are those measurements of spiritual growth? Are those things that measure when we grow in faith? I'm not sure about that. In fact, when I think about those things, things like when I feel close to God, or when I learn or understand more about God, or when I have an experience with God's people, I don't think I consider those to be a measure of growth. Rather, I look at those things as the preconditions, the conditions in which growth happens, right? The precursor to growth. What it is I have to have around me in order for growth to happen, but not the measure itself of what growth looks like. So then, the question is still there. How do you measure growth in your walk with God? Jesus talks about that with analogy. He uses stories to describe that. In fact, he uses farming stories, stories about agriculture, to describe what it looks like when we grow in faith. He talks about it as something that produces fruit, right? When your faith grows, then you produce fruit. So he talks about that as a farmer who plants and tends and grows something and then comes to look for the crop, the harvest. So the farmer then tries to put all the right conditions around that, right? You've plow the field, you fertilize the soil, you want to make sure it's in a place that gets just the right amount of sunshine, you irrigate with just the right amount of water. Those are the conditions, but it's the fruit that produces, right? So the question here then, what does it look like for us to grow in faith? We can talk about all the conditions around that, but somewhere along the way, we have to get to the point that Jesus makes about fruit, producing fruit. The Bible talks about that. In fact, last week we looked at this, if you were here last week, that passage from Galatians 5 when the Apostle Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Fruit that shows up in our lives, fruit that takes the shape of things like joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That when Jesus comes and reclaims and renews our lives, when we have new life in Jesus, that he begins a process in us. A process in us whereby more and more our characters, who we are, begins to be shaped by that kind of fruit, producing those kinds of qualities. In the thoughts that I have, in the words that I say, in the actions that I perform, that all of these things start to take shape around producing the kind of fruit that Jesus talks about, that the Apostle Paul points to. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That these things are the things that ought to be produced in my life. And when those things become evident, when other people see actions that are kind or gentle or patient, then I have something to measure. Then there is a measurement there of what growth looks like, at least the way the Bible tells us what that growth looks like. So in this analysis of what spiritual growth means and how that works, maybe the question then to ask is, what kind of fruit is my life producing? Right? What kind of fruit do I produce in my life? Division and hatred and anger, fighting and quarreling? Or the kind of fruit that the Bible talks about for love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? How do we measure that? We measure that when we produce that kind of fruit. So we start there by knowing kind of what it is we're looking for, what we measure when we talk about growing and how that works. But let me take that to the next step then, because how do we take that and where do we go from there? How do we learn how to do that? Right, that's really where we began with today. How do I learn that? How do I pick that up? Because I made the illustration here that sort of told us that, you know what? Sitting in the same room for 1 hour a week with other people who kind of emulate the same thing is not all that it takes. There must be something more to it than simply showing up with other people who all want to follow God as well. So what does that really look like? And in fact, what is it that we are accountable to? Do I have an accountability? Something that God has given for me as one of his disciples, a task of my own to follow him. What's my part in this? What can I do that helps press in to this growing of my faith that produces the kind of fruit that Jesus wants for me? How do we do that? Right? What is the responsibility that I have? Maybe one of the things that we need to note about that is that this doesn't happen alone. Right? There is no such thing as just me and Jesus and my Bible, but there's something of a community of people. After Jesus died, was crucified, and then rose again, and then spent time with the disciples, and then he ascended back into heaven, after all of that, Jesus sent a gift to his church, to his disciples. The gift of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon the church and gives them the gift of God's presence with them. And here's how that worked, right? When the Holy Spirit came upon the church, it did not come to you and you and you and you and you and you. The Holy Spirit came to a community. Not individuals, but a group. What we understand by that then is that when we grow closer to God, that we don't do that alone. We don't do that in isolation. We don't do that apart from each other. But when we grow closer to God, when we figure out what it means for us to produce that kind of fruit that God is looking for from us, that kind of change that takes place in our hearts when the Holy Spirit works through us, that we do that together in a group. We do that with God's people. That is why God has called us church together, because that's the place where we meet with other people to grow in faith together. God uses other people to help us grow in faith. Now, for those of you who maybe have been a Christian a long time, maybe this makes sense, because when you think upon your own life story, your own walk of faith, your own journey of learning about God, at some point in your own story, right, in your walk of faith, at some point, there are other people who made a difference. Other people who came along at just the right time in a way that only God could have arranged that helped bring that step further and further. God has used other people to help get you to where you are now today. It makes sense, because our own stories confirm that. I didn't figure out what it means to follow God just by myself. It wasn't just me and my Bible and God, but there were other people along the way who did that as well. God uses other people to do that, and he does that in ways that help us grow. So, who are those people? Right? Maybe that's a good place to begin when you think about this accountability of wanting to be a person who produces the kind of fruit that God desires my life to produce. Maybe the question I need to ask is, who are the people around me in my life that help me to do that? Who are the ones that encourage me and lift me up? Who point out where those gifts and talents and abilities in my life take me to do that? Who are those people? Who are the ones that help you out that way? But it doesn't stop there, because it's not just about the people who help me, but it's also acknowledging that, you know what? God has given me some talent, some ability to help other people as well. And there's no limits or restrictions on this. Right? You don't have to be one of the pastors at the church to do that. Or you don't have to be one of the elders or deacons on the council to do that. You don't have to reach a certain age or have graduated from certain classes to do that. Because God, in the power of His Holy Spirit, works through anyone He chooses. Anyone. So the question is always there. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter where your life has been, the question is there. How can God use me to help somebody else to grow in faith? There are those that help me, and there are opportunities that I have in my life to help others, that God has given us a community to be a part of, where we grow together in faith. So, we do the analysis. Spiritual growth, it happens when we produce a certain kind of fruit. We look for the accountability, that we do this together. It's not something I do myself, but I do that with others. Now then, let's take it to where it wraps up today. What does it look like? What's the outward appearance? The outward appearance of this kind of accountable relationships of growth, when I see that, how do I know? How do I know what it looks like? Right? What does it really look like for me to be the kind of person who helps others to grow in faith? When that takes shape, how do I know that? Part of that maybe is in recognizing what it is our part is. Or maybe I can flip that around. What our part is not, what we don't do. Listen to this story. This comes from Mark. Mark chapter 4, it's only a few verses. Jesus tells this story in the Gospel of Mark. He says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground," another farm story. "Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." You see, when it comes to being people who follow God and grow in faith, there is a part of that that only God can do. Only God can change a person's heart. I can't make any one of you change your heart. Sometimes we can't even change our own hearts, right? We get stuck in our own lives and in our own routines. We need to be people who acknowledge, first of all, that there is a part of this growing in faith that only God can do. Only God can change a heart. Only God can turn someone toward Him that way. So we recognize, first of all, in what this outward appearance of spiritual growth looks like, that there is a part that I can't do, that only God can do. Remember that. But then we ask the question, so if God is the one who changes hearts, then what is my part? Right? Where do I step into that? Where's my part in growing in faith? And that's where we find the community of this relationship. That my part in this is to be part of relationships that are all about grace. All about reminding us that we are part of God's family, called and loved by Him. That we do that together. That we're all a part of this. So when we talk about the mission of this church, we talk about it, and I ran over this last week. We have three key words that we use, right? Love, grow, and serve. And we say about those things in our mission that we love God, we grow meaningful relationships, and we serve local community. So when we think about growing, when we think about what it means for us as a mission, our part in growing faith, we center that, we control that around meaningful relationships. That being a part of meaningful relationships, that's the part of spiritual growth that Jesus has given to us. And we see that. We see that in some of the things we do here, right? So that's why we have GEMS and cadets, groups, relationships. That's why we have youth group. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have these things where we come together, because there is relationship in that. We make friendships in that. We learn to support one another in that, encourage one another in that. So when there are those points along there where we need that, this is where we find it. We find it where we tend and nurture the soils, right? Jesus tells that story, that first story that we read from Luke chapter 13, that story about the fig tree that doesn't produce any fruit. And the owner of the vineyard wants to just cut it down. But the gardener who's there says, no, wait, not yet. Let me tend to it. Let me fertilize that. Let me make that more fruitful, doing everything that I can so that it will produce fruit. You see, immediately in that story, I think what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about his own people, the nation of Israel. But if you look at the stories around that in Luke 13, you see that Jesus is also talking to something for his disciples to carry forward as well. That we are people who are called to tend and nurture the soil of the souls of other people, of one another. That we do our part to make everything possible as much as we can to build those relationships. And we do our part there, knowing that God is faithful to do his part, to change hearts, to turn people to him. And we do that together in ways that help people grow. And we do that in ways to where, like in the story, when we see people who maybe have lives that look to us to be completely unfruitful, there is nothing going on there. God is not producing anything through that person. That it's not a throwaway. Right? There's no place in there where we would say, well, forget that. Throw that one out. But the story here is one in which Jesus comes back and he says, not yet. Be patient. Stay with it. Keep tending. Keep fertilizing. Keep nurturing. Keep working at it. God shows that kind of long patience with us, doesn't he? God is the one who again and again picks us up when we fall and shows that patience with us and provides for us then the example of showing that kind of patience in how we support and nurture one another. You see, a fruitful life then is a life that becomes anchored in the grace of God and is connected with others who are anchored in the grace of God as well. And when we do that, when we live as people who surround ourselves with those relationships of grace, then we find ourselves in the right place where our lives can be nurtured and tended to a place of producing the kind of fruit that God has given to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you that in your word that you call us to be people who produce fruit. Lord, we're sorry for the times when maybe we've mistaken what that looks like. times when we have not carried that forward in ways that show your part, how you turn our hearts, how you make us grow. And God, we pray today then that you would open our eyes. May we first of all see who those people are around us, those relationships that carry us, that bring your blessing upon us. And may we also look around us to see who it is that we can help, that we can carry forward, that we can share something of the love and grace you've given to us. And may you then use those relationships you've put before us to grow, that we may produce the fruit that you've given for us to do as your people in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.